And they're saying that James prayed so much that he had calluses on his knees like a camel. That when they come in and kill James there in Jerusalem, it is commonly believed that the reason that Jerusalem was torn to bits as it was, the reason being that they killed James the way they did, that God loved him so much. But let's just turn over and read from the first chapter, the first verse. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greetings. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass he shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. If any man among you seem to be religious, and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is in vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect to persons. For if there come unto you your assembly a man with a gold ring and goodly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment, and ye have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, stand thou there, or sit here under my footstool. Are ye not then partial in yourselves, and are become judges of evil thoughts? Hearken, my beloved brethren. Hath not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom, which he hath promised to them that love him? But ye have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seats? Do not they blaspheme that worthy name by the which ye are called? If ye fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. But if ye have respect to persons, ye commit sin, and are convinced of the law as transgressors. For whosoever will keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. For he that said, do not commit adultery, said also, do not kill. Now if thou commit no adultery, yet if thou kill, thou art become a transgressor of the law. So speak ye, and so do as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. For he shall have judgment without mercy that hath showed no mercy. And mercy rejoiceth against judgment. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man may say he hath faith and have not works, can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto him, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devil also believes and trembles. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works, when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. You see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Likewise also, was not Rahab the harlot justified by works, when she had received the messengers, and had sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horse's mouth, that they may obey us. And we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great, and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature. And it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea, hath been tamed of mankind, but the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your heart, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lust, that war in your members? Ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have, and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust. Ye adulterers and adulteress, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do you think that the Scripture saith in vain, the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgest another? Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boasting. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Go to now, ye rich men, weep and howl for your misery that shall come upon you. Your riches are corrupted and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver is cankered. And the rust of them shall be a witness against you, and shall eat your flesh as it were fire. Ye have heaped treasures together for the last days. Behold, the hire of the laborers have reaped down your fields, which is of you kept back by fraud, crieth. And the cries of them which have reaped are entered into the ears of the Lord of Sabbath. Ye have lived in pleasure on the earth and been wanton. Ye have nourished your hearts as in a day of slaughter. Ye have condemned and killed the just, and he doth not resist you. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain. Be also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. Take, my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. But above all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven, neither by the earth, neither by any other oath. But let your yea be yea and your nay, nay, lest you fall into condemnation. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elijah was a man subject to like passions, as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he which converted the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sin. I didn't intend to read the entire book of James, but there's only five chapters and they're showing. So I thought it might do us good to read that. I'd like to comment just a little bit, and I'll try not to hold you long. In the fifth chapter, if you'll notice, the eighth verse, be also patient, establish your hearts. You know, the heart needs to be established. For the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. I'd like just to comment just a little bit right here. The coming of the Lord draweth nigh. I don't think I'd have any dispute with you if I tried to press upon you the issue of the coming of the Lord being nigh. I think that everybody in here would immediately say, Brother Pike, I believe that's true. I might not agree with you, and I might not be going along with you in the things that you're saying altogether, but I believe that the coming of the Lord is nigh. And here James tells us that the coming of the Lord is nigh. Can you imagine that this took place almost 2,000 years ago? Almost 2,000 years behind us, this took place. And James felt the awareness of God and the presence of God so close until he said, brethren, be established. Get your heart settled. Get everything just right. He said, because the coming of the Lord is near. The coming of the Lord is near. If the coming of the Lord was considered in his heart to be near at that time, with the hundreds of years that was yet to be before Jesus come in the clouds of heaven, think what it's like at this present moment and how close the coming of the Lord is. How close is the coming of the Lord here? James tells us here that we're not to judge one another, that we're not to speak evil of one another. He says that if I speak evil of you, or you speak evil of me, or if we speak evil of them, that we are judging the law. Could you imagine what it would be like in the day of judgment when God brings us before the great white throne and stands and tells me or you, he says to us that you took my law and you judged my law. Can you imagine what that would be like to judge God's law? The great law that's perfect. And yet he said if you judge your brother, you judge the law. You have become judges of the law. And here in his writing, he points out how necessary it is for you and I to bridle our tongue and not to backbite, not to talk about one another, but talk to one another. If you have something to say, go to that person and tell that person what you're trying to do. And in doing that, you will save your brother. And James also tells us in his writing that whereas we have problems with sickness and things happen to us, we find ourselves in bad circumstances, he tells us that the reason for that is that we don't pray the prayer of faith for one another. And the reason that we can't pray the prayer of faith for one another is because we are not living where we ought to be with God. Now you say, Brother Pike, you mean that the person that can't pray the prayer of faith is not living where they ought to be living with God? That's not what I mean at all. I mean that the person that you are praying for is not living where they ought to live with God, or the church would pray the prayer of faith and that person would be delivered from their sickness and from their sins. You know, you pray for people over and over and over and they don't get healed. And the person will say, well, I don't understand why I don't get my healing. They prayed for me, and the Bible said that if the elders come together and if they pray for the sick, I'd be healed. But they never stop to consider the fact that they are doing the same thing over and over and over in their life that caused them to be sick to begin with. That they haven't made any change to get that thing out of their life. And as a consequence or result of that, then the same sickness, the same problem continues in their life over and over and over. Brothers and sisters, listen. If we pray the prayer of faith, or if anybody prays the prayer of faith for you or for me, then the only way that we're going to be able to receive that is to put away the evil from among us. The Bible said, call together the elders of the church. It didn't say that you had to have a special evangelist or a special kind of a pastor or a special anointed person with a special gift, did it? It didn't say that somebody had to have the gift of miracles or the gift of healing to be able to bring healing to the people of the church. It simply stated that we are to call together the elders of the church. And they can anoint the sick, pray over the sick, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick. They will be healed, and if they have committed any sins, it shall be forgiven them. Now, that means that healing is always in the church, and the body of Christ should never be sick at any time. But it is a true fact that the elders or somebody with the gift of miracles or somebody with the gift of healing or whatever, that not any of them can pray the prayer of faith for you and you receive your healing as long as you're going to continue in your iniquity and your warped up way of life. If you'll forsake the thing that's in your life that's causing you to be sick, you won't be sick. You understand what I'm saying? If the elders come together, and if they pray the prayer of faith over you, and if your sins are forgiven, you submit to them. Your sins are forgiven, and you turn away from your sins. The Bible said, he that confesseth his sins and forsaketh his sins, that man shall prosper. And then you get away from your sins, leave your sins, that sickness will depart from you, and you won't have any more problems with it. But a lot of times we pray for people and they weep at the altar and they raise up in faith at the altar and everything seems to be just fine, but yet they go out with the same sickness and the same problem and they go right on and they say within themselves, well, why is it that I can't get my healing? Why is it that I can't prosper? Why is it I can't be blessed? When the Bible centers around prosperity and around healing, around blessings for the people of God. Why is it that I can't get my healing? Why is it that I can't prosper? Why is it I can't do the things I want to do for God? Why is that? It's because you didn't forsake the thing that caused the sickness. You've got a practice in your life. You've got something in your life. It may be a practice of backbiting. It may be a practice of being evilly suspicious. It might be a practice of cutting corners. It might be a practice of not being square with your creditors or your debtors. It might be a practice of taking in your brethren or mistreating your brethren or lording over your brethren. Or it might be any one of 100 or 1,000 things. But there is something in your life that is continually going on in your life, and it doesn't matter how much you get prayed for until you get away from that sin and away from that evil, you're going to continue to be sick and continue to have problems. We've got people among us that can't prosper. They just can't prosper. It doesn't matter what they do, they can't prosper. Everything that they do caves in on them. Everything that they go to do, somehow they have problems with it. Why is that? It's because they won't forsake their sins. They confess their sins. They're numbered with the people of God. They come together with the people of God. And they start off real good. But they just won't forsake their sins. They go back to the same old wicked practices. The same old evil thing that they've been doing before. And see, if you gossip, if you backbite, if you cause problems, if you cause division among the brethren, then the Bible tells us that your religion is in vain because you didn't bridle your tongue. That any man, any woman, it doesn't matter, any man or woman, no matter how religious they are, James said, no matter how much they come to church, no matter how religious they appear, James said if they can't bridle their tongue, if they don't put a bridle on their tongue and stop their tongue from saying things, he said this man or woman's religion is in vain. They're coming to church in vain. They're doing all that they're doing in vain. Because whatever they do, it is in vain in the sight of God. He won't receive it. And they cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Not only that, but you are not in the kingdom of God. You've got to remember that if you get in the kingdom of God, you've got to get in it in this world. You can't wait until you die to get into the kingdom of God. We get the warped up idea or the weird idea that we have got to die, and after we die, then we'll enter into the kingdom of God. But brothers and sisters, if you wait till you die, when you get up on the other side, you don't have any chance to enter into the kingdom of God there. The Bible tells us that the kingdom of God is right now present in this world. And that men right now are pressing their way into the kingdom of God. And that what we've got to do is be translated into the kingdom of God right here in this present world. That's why I preach to you like I do. I preach the word of God to you. I tell you about faith, because you've got to come to a place to where you can believe your way into the kingdom of God. And through faith in the word, you've got to be translated into the kingdom of God.
Hallelujah.
You know, and then we get the idea that, well, we believe. We say, well, Brother Pike, I'm a Christian, I believe. But see, that's not enough. Will you know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? You mean to tell me that you're going to heaven because you believe in God? If you're going to heaven because you believe in God, then all the world's going to heaven. They believe there's a God. Everybody in the world believes there's a God. Oh, now somebody would say, Brother Pike, you don't believe that. I know that they do, because the Bible teaches it. Why is it that the Bible said everything, not Christians, but everything in heaven and in the earth and under the earth shall confess that He is God?
Amen.
Everybody believes there's a God. And the Bible teaches that if you believe there's one God, you do well, because the devil believes that. And he trembles every time he thinks about it. But will you know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? It doesn't matter how much you believe there is a God, you've got to work for Christ. You've got to do something for God. Surely you can't believe in your heart that you're going to go to heaven doing nothing while everybody else is making a sacrifice. While everybody else is denying the lust of the flesh, denying their own desire and their own way of life and turning away from the things of this world and trying to please God and trying to conform to His ways, surely you can't believe that you're just going to do the opposite or let everything go and say what you want to, live like you want to, be what you want to, and do nothing and say, I believe, and go to heaven. Surely you don't believe that. You're going to have to do something for God. That's why that here at Little Bethlehem, I encourage you to get a vision for Jesus Christ. I encourage you to do something for God. I'm not just speaking to one of you, but I'm speaking to all of you. You say, but this isn't my church. This isn't my responsibility. Don't be foolish. This church is your church. This church is your responsibility. And if there's 10,000 other churches throughout the world, that's your responsibility. And if there's 10 million people throughout the world that God wants to reach, that's your responsibility. It doesn't matter whether it's at Little Bethlehem or across the world. I don't live in Venezuela, but that's my responsibility. I don't live in Africa, but that's my responsibility. It's my responsibility to see that they have food to eat. It's my responsibility to see that they have salvation for their soul. It's my responsibility to see that they are freed from the weird ideas and the fears and frustrations that they have in their life. It's my responsibility to see that it's done. You say, Brother Pike, it couldn't be your responsibility. Well, then tell me, why does the Bible tell me to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature? Why does He tell me to do that? Why didn't He just tell me to stay in Monroe and preach the gospel? Why didn't He just tell me to go into Atlanta, Georgia and preach the gospel? But see, He said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So then it is my responsibility to go into all the world. It doesn't matter who they are or where they are. It's my responsibility to do something about it. And it's your responsibility too. You may not accept your responsibility, but it's still your responsibility. I've accepted my responsibility. I'm not doing what I would like to do. I'm not accomplishing what I would like to accomplish. But I have accepted my responsibility. The writer said, I'm debtor to the Greek, to the barbarian. I'm debtor to all people to preach the gospel to them as much as lies within me. So then it is my responsibility and it is your responsibility. And then remember one other thing. I'm always reminding you of this while I'm here at Little Bethlehem. You cannot be double-minded and do any good for God. One day you've got a great vision for God. The next day you're just like a building caved in on you. One day you're zealous, you're spiritual. The next day you're very carnal. The Bible says that a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. The same individual that you find in and out and up and down, when it comes to spiritual things, if you'll examine his life, examine his heart, you'll find out that his transactions or transition in life will be exactly the same way. For he is unstable in all of his ways. All of his ways he is unstable in them. The Bible said a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. For if he be double-minded, he'd be double-minded anywhere he's at, in anything he's doing, in anything he plans, in anything he thinks. He's double-minded in all of his ways. He's unstable. You can't rely on him for nothing. You tell him to do something over here, and you get over here, he's done change it. He's done it another way after he told you over here he'd do it this way. He'll make an agreement with you over here and then get over here and change it entirely and never even think about it anymore. He'll shake hands with you and put his arms around you over here and tell you how much he loves you, and then he'll get back out there and take you to pieces and tell somebody out there just how dirty and low down he thinks you are. A double-minded man. A double-minded person, whether sister or brother, they are never settled. They're never contented. They're never satisfied. You put them in little Bethlehem, they're not contented. You put them in another state, you put them in another place, they're still double-minded. They're not satisfied. They don't want leadership. They don't want guidance. They don't have anybody over them for nothing. They want to do everything their way, the way they see it, the way they understand it, the way they feel it, and that's the way it is. And they don't do anything with anybody to coordinate or to follow leadership or to do the work of God. Those people will go to hell. Those people will not enter into the kingdom of God. There is a lake of fire that's waiting for the contrary person. There is a lake of fire that's waiting for people that cannot coordinate, that cannot come into a brotherhood. There's a lake of fire waiting for them. It doesn't matter what kind of person they are. If they can't coordinate with brothers and sisters in Christ, they will burn in the lake of fire. You say, Brother Pike, if they don't want to do that, if they don't want to coordinate, God will still bless them. God will not bless them. They'll go to hell. They have to coordinate. God's got one body. God's got one leadership, and that's all he's got throughout the world. That's the leadership of the ministry. And that has to be a proven ministry. No man taketh the priesthood to himself. No man can say, well, I'm a preacher and I've got the right to do this. The best way to find out whether or not a man is a preacher is to see if he'll follow a preacher. If he won't follow a preacher, he ain't a preacher. The first thing a leader will do is follow a leader. Because that's what leadership is to follow leadership and to set an example in the earth. And so it is that we coordinate, we work together. I was telling Brother Wayne today, when we leave from here and we set something in order, it has to be carried out that way. It should be carried out that way. It shouldn't be changed around. It shouldn't be switched around. When Jesus left, he gave his ordinances. He gave his way of life. He told us precisely what he wanted us to do. Right down to every jot and tittle, he told us what we must do. And brothers and sisters, when we alter the word in our lives and in our minds, and when we make other plans, and when we do it just a little bit contrary to God, then we lose out with God. That's why James so emphatically states here that those people will not make it into the kingdom of God. He said that they will not make it in. What is pure religion? What is undefiled religion? What is God's true way of life? To visit the fatherless, the widows, the orphans in their afflictions, and to keep yourselves unspotted from the world. On this trip, we tried to do one thing, and that is remember the poor. Try to remember the poor. And here's another thing that we need to remember tonight in this little exhortation. One thing that we need to remember, and that is charity. Having fervent charity above all things. If you cannot have charity, you cannot make it into the kingdom of God. Though you give your body to be burned, though you make great sacrifices, though you might fast, though you might pray, though you might come to church regularly, you might give thousands of dollars, but unless you've got a sweet, loving, humble God, desiring, hungering, thirsting spirit, you cannot make it into the kingdom of God. You are not a part of the kingdom of God, and you will not make it into those heavenly places. You must have a spirit of charity, a loving, kind, gentle, patient spirit. And you cannot be a friend of the world. James tells us in his writings, he said that the world hates us, and that he that is a friend of the world is an enemy to God. You cannot drink, you cannot curse, you cannot smoke, you cannot carouse, you cannot go out into the world and fellowship the world and joke and laugh and be part of the world and still be a child of God. You may say, well, I believe I'm going to make it in, but your believing is in vain. You might say, well, I think God will have mercy on me, but he won't have mercy on you. You know, this thing we've got to come to, and that is to realize that God will not have mercy on you above his word. There is no mercy for people out of the word of God. Only within the boundaries of the word of God will you find mercy. And there is no mercy outside of the word of God. So then all of the people out there in the world that might be praying, that might be giving, that might be going to church, that are so confident that God's going to have mercy, I tell you in the name of the Lord, there'll be no mercy for them. No mercy. Only in the word of God is there mercy. If you continue into the perfect laws or in the perfect laws of liberty, if you go on in the laws of liberty, which means the word of God, that's the laws of liberty, there is no word of liberty, no law of liberty, no way of liberty except in Jesus Christ. The word is words of liberty, laws of liberty. If you conform to the word, obey the word, think on the word, walk in the word, you're walking in the laws of liberty. He that looketh into the law of liberty and continueth therein shall be blessed in his deeds. But the man that does not continue into the word or in the words of liberty shall be cut off, and there is no mercy outside the word of God. So then, brethren, it is necessary for you to listen to the minister. It is necessary for you to pay attention to the word of God. It is necessary for you to get the wickedness out of your heart, get the resentment out of your soul, get the jealousy, get the evil, get the backbiting, get the division, move it out from among you, move the strife and envy. It is necessary for you to do that if you're going to make it into the kingdom of God. And I tell you again that you must get into the kingdom of God here in this present world. You must be translated in by faith by continuing in the perfect laws of liberty here in this world, or you don't get in at all. So then you cannot be a friend of the world. The Bible teaches that to be a friend of the world is to be an enemy of God. If you have anything out in the world, anybody out in the world, find any place in the world, then you know that you are the enemy of God, for the world loveth its own. Hereby we know the children of God is they that walk in the flesh are carnally minded and abiding in death and cannot please God. But they that are spiritual talk of spiritual things. Their conversation is in heaven. Their desire and ambition is in the things of God, in the kingdom of God, in reaching souls and being holy, being spiritual, and wanting to be virtuous and have a heart full of charity. In this we see the children of God. So then, to believe is not enough. It's going to take works, and it's going to take getting away from double-mindedness. You're going to have to be one way or another. You know, you just have to rise up and be one way or another. Either be worldly, go out in the world and make yourself friends of the unrighteous mammon. The Bible teaches that in the event that God should reject you, and he will, that they may receive you into everlasting habitation. Or either stay in the kingdom of God, be translated in the kingdom of God, and walk with the children of light, work with the children of light, have a spirit of charity, get away from backbiting, division, jealousy, strife, envy, and the evil spirits that defile the temple of God. Get away from those things. Let your minds be wholly pure, for charity thinketh no evil. When you come into the sanctuary and you think a thought toward me, or you think a thought toward your brother, or you think any thought, just one thought, that is not holy, pure, and virtuous concerning your brother, your fellow man, the word of God, you do not have charity, and you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Every thought must be brought into subjection to Jesus Christ, casting down imagination and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of Christ, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Jesus Christ. Charity thinketh no evil, and without charity you are a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. So then have fervent charity among yourselves. Continue in the Word of God, the perfect law of liberty. Don't fellowship the world. Stay away from the world. Go in and out among them as much as you have to. Deal with them in the ways that you have to. Make no friends with them. For if you spare any of them, they'll be pricks in your side. Stay away from them. Just do whatever you have to do among them. Let that be it. Make your habitation and abode with its sons and daughters of God. The coming of the Lord draweth nigh. He said, establish your heart. Establish your heart. For the coming of the Lord is nigh. I'd like for you to stand with me. I just felt like reading the scripture and exhorting you just a few minutes tonight. The coming of the Lord draweth nigh. This trip, as I say, it has a great bearing and significance concerning the coming of the Lord. The things that we encountered and the things that we done while on this trip, the different things that took place in spiritual revelation, it is unbelievable. I realize that it's unbelievable, but it is still the things that took place in the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Some things my wife, she couldn't understand. One morning a certain thing happened on Palm Sunday. And I went to do a certain thing and she said, surely you won't. I said, I surely will. She said, but you never in your life done that. I said, but we will today. So see, you never know. God is doing certain things. It has certain significance, and great and outstanding things are taking place in the mighty kingdom and mind of the Almighty God. You and I have to be ready like soldiers. We have to be standing right ready to do exactly what He says when He says it and do it His way, that it might be pleasing to the Lord of hosts. I'm so thankful tonight for Jesus, a real, true, and a living God, not a dumb idol that can't speak nor hear, but a real, true, and a living God that we can worship. I appreciate you tonight. I thank you so much for your kindness and kind attention. Remember the services from night to night. Don't forget the coming of the Lord is nigh. If you don't have a vision for God, you get a vision. Pray. If you're not praying, I beseech you in the name of the Lord Jesus, get you a prayer life. Don't let this night go by without getting you a prayer life. If you don't have a prayer life or a prayer time, don't let this night pass without getting you a prayer life. Read your Bible. Start studying the Bible. Start getting spiritual minded. Start feeding your mind on thoughts of God and things of God and desires of God. You've got to put something in there, folks, if you're going to keep something alive in here. Did you know that? If you're going to have God alive down in here, you're going to have to put some spiritual food in here. You're going to have to eat the Word and drink the Spirit. Drink His blood, need His flesh. You're going to have to think on the things of God. Pray, study, seek spiritual things. Keep your mind spiritual. Think on the kingdom of God. Those things. Get all the worldliness and natural thoughts out of your mind. For carnality is death. There's no spiritual preservation in the thoughts of carnality. It is death. To be carnally minded is death. I know that you can't fathom that. I realize you can't. I wish you could. I wish you could understand those two different dimensions. And that what I'm saying, Jesus said, my words are spiritual. I wish you could fathom it. But whether you can or not, and it's shocking when you fathom it. It'll literally shock you when it opens up and you see it. You say, my God, I never thought it was like that. But just take my word for it in what you can understand. Don't be carnally minded. Don't be carnally minded. Let's sing a little chorus together. How beautiful are the feet of them that bring glad tidings of great joy. How beautiful. Such beautiful, beautiful things. Can we sing a little chorus together? And we sang the little song that we sang so often, "Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Hear my humble cry. And while on others thou art calling, do not pass me by." Can you sing with me? Oh, Savior, Savior, won't you hear my humble cry? And while on others thou art called, oh, do not pass me by. Sing it one more time, can you? Lift your hands up and let's sing it together. Oh, Savior, oh, Savior, won't you hear my humble cry? And while on others thou art fallen, oh, do not pass me by. Go leave it there, oh, leave it there. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave it there. For if you'll trust, don't ever doubt, God will surely lead you out. Take your burden to my Lord and leave it there. You know, a lot of times you pray, you call on the name of Jesus, and you pray. And then you feel, Lord, I prayed and I prayed, but Lord, I just don't see where there's anything being done. I don't see any change. I don't see where there's anything being done. Like Elijah, when he prayed, told the little servants, said, "Go see if it's any rain inside." Said, "No, not a thing." He just kept on praying. Said, "Go back and look again." No, I said, "There ain't a thing." He kept on praying. He said, "Go back and look again." He said, "You know what?" Said, "Something has happened."
Hallelujah.
"You know what? If you keep praying, something will happen." The Bible said Elijah was a man of like passion, the same as you and I. Just a man. Just like you, a man. But he prayed. And the Bible said that he prayed earnestly.
Hallelujah.
Earnestly before God, he prayed that it might not rain. And for the space of 3 years and 6 months, the Bible said it rained not. And then the Bible tells us that he went and prayed again. And he prayed for rain. And he said, "Father, send rain." And the Bible said God sent forth a mighty rain. If you pray, it might not look like it, but something is happening. Something is taking place. And if you keep praying, after a while, you'll begin to see the answer to your prayer. And then you'll rejoice. Oh, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You'll rejoice. Glory to God. You'll see your enemy overthrown. You'll see the answer to your prayer. And the Bible said, "Cast your bread upon the waters, and after many days it shall return to you." And you'll see the beauty of serving God. When you pray, believe. A lot of times you don't really get what you're praying for. And it takes so much longer because you fail to believe. But when you pray, believe. Get down and say, Lord, I'm offering my works. Prayer. Now I'm offering my faith. And faith and works together. And faith will be made perfect by your works. Pray and believe. And when you believe, the Bible said, if you desire anything, when you pray, believe that you receive it, and ye shall have it. For if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. I will do it. God will do it. For how many believe that God will do it for you? Your cup will run over. The deep will call in the deep at the water spout of God, and your cup will run over. Let's sing it again, can't we? Though your body may suffer pain, and your health you can't regain, and you have to get along on mega fare. But just remember in God's word how he fed the little birds. Take your burden to my Lord and leave it there. Go and leave it there. Oh, leave it there. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. For if you'll trust, don't ever doubt, God will surely bring you out. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there. You know, you keep on praying and praying and praying, and it seems like nothing don't take place. But you just keep on praying. And then after a while, the windows of heaven break open. And things begin to happen to you and to your loved ones. And you say, my God, it looks like it's all coming at one time. Try me herewith, saith the Lord of hosts. See if I'll not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you'll not be able to receive. Draw nigh to me, and I'll draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hearts. Purify your hearts, ye double-minded. God will do something for you. Don't doubt today and believe tomorrow. Just dig in and establish your heart and say, Lord Jesus, the Word of God never changes. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever. It said that I could have the desires of my heart and it isn't going to change. That means that your attitude is once and for all the same toward me through Christ by Calvary. It isn't ever going to change. Peace on earth and goodwill toward men. For I know my thoughts towards you, God said, and they're good. They're not evil. My thoughts is higher above your thoughts than the earth. The heavens is the earth. So then, because you think in terms of failure, and you think in terms of shortcoming, and you think that God has changed his mind, and you think that the Lord sees you one day this way and another day another way, that doesn't change the Word of God. That doesn't change God's thoughts. That doesn't change God's attitude. His attitude is once and for all. He hath made us without spot and without blemish. He hath made us the apple of his eye. Once and for all in Christ, he hath seen us purified, justified, glorified forever, and predestinated us unto his sonship and good works. Therefore the word remaineth the same. So then the thing that wavers is not God's attitude, nor changes. It's not God's attitude. It's your faith that wavers. It is your attitude. It is your thinking. And your iniquities, which is your unbelief, and your shortcomings, has caused the condemnation of your heart. And thine iniquities have separated between you and the promises of God, or God the Word. My hand is not short that it cannot reach you. Delight yourself in me. I'll make you to ride upon the high places of the earth. I'll feed you with the heritage of Jacob. I'll give you the desires of your heart. For it's my will above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospereth. And the Bible teaches ye shall be like a tree that's planted by the water. Ye shall bring forth your fruit in your season. Your leaves shall not wither. Whatsoever you do shall prosper. Confess your sins and forsake your sins.
and ye shall prosper. So then, if God has a once and for all attitude toward us, which is good, then let us have a once and for all attitude toward Him, unchangeable, without wavering, that He is our God, that He will give us the desires of our heart, that He hath, through Christ, given us all things that pertain unto life, that all things are working together for our good, that He hath translated us into the marvelous kingdom of His God, and that He hath sealed us by His Holy Spirit, and that nothing, life nor death nor things to come, principalities or powers, can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. His once and for all attitude toward humanity, peace on earth, and goodwill toward man. Let us have an unwavering faith, casting not away our faith, the writer said, that hath great recompense of reward. Not wavering, but being like Abraham, being strong in faith, giving God glory, believing, being fully persuaded that God is able to do what He promised. Let's have that attitude, can we? Can we have that attitude? Don't ever change. Don't ever listen to the thoughts of accusation, the bewildering thoughts of the wilderness that you stumble into, the old slime pits of intellectual wandering, and don't get into it. Just follow the mind of Christ. Believe. He said it. He will do it. He hath finished it in Calvary. All of His promises are yea and amen. Just go around praising God for it, rejoicing. Wake up in the morning. Get your mind all out of the wilderness. Get it straightened out. Put it right on God. Begin to love Him and praise Him, because He's your God. He's your strength. He's your happiness. Satan would like to tear you down in your mind and trample down the mind of humanity. You know that? So that you can't have that confidence in God. So that you can't have that peace and rest. So that God can't meet your needs because of the unbelief that separates between you and Him. If His attitude and word doesn't change, then why should you change your thinking? Why should you change your believing? Why should you let Satan wrestle out of your hands that which belongs to you? You know, it's like the little woman. I wanted to give her some money over in Hades. A little old woman, feeble and couldn't help herself. But the strong men grabbed and tried to wrestle it away from me. But I held on to it. They wrestle, but to no avail. When they got through, the little woman got it. That's the way to do it. Hold on to your faith. Amen. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, against principalities and powers, wickedness in high places. Hold on to it. Wrestle it out of the hand of the devil. Don't let him have that belongs to you. Say, God, it's mine through the spilt blood of Jesus Christ. I come boldly before the throne of grace that I might receive the help I need in the time of need. And God, it's mine. I'm going to have it. It's mine. You lay hold on it and stay right with it. And I'll guarantee you the devils and the demons will leave. Say, Satan, get thee behind me. You know why you say, Satan, get thee behind me? Do you know why you do that? Because Calvary put Satan behind us. 2,000 years behind us. He's behind us. Calvary ended it. That done away with Satan. He can't be in front of us because he's behind us. See, Calvary put him forever behind us. So when he tries to get in front of you, say, get thee behind me, Satan. Keep going right on. And everything will be all right with you. I praise the Lord for you tonight. I hope you'll grow strong in faith, be a great light of the world, and have all of your desires met. Happiness, everything. Glad to have Brother Paul back with us tonight. I'm so thankful to see Paul here going on with God. It really warms my heart. I pray that God will give him strength. I pray that you brethren will work with him. Really work with him. You know, we see a vision of a brother and we see something wrong with him and we say, yeah, the old hypocrite. I knew that's the way it was all the time. But that's not right. Maybe the brother's a good brother, but he's got into bad circumstances. The Lord's showing you his condition. And like a good physician, go out there and work with him. Nurse him back to help, and God will give you a reward in the day of judgment. Appreciate having Brother Dennis' sister here with us. I suppose this is probably her over here at the left. Certainly glad to have her here with us. Appreciate it so very much. Hope that his dad and mother and them will come down and be with us. Appreciate every one of you. Brother Kenny, we're glad to have him here with us tonight. Let's pray one for another.